93.5. And a really good afternoon to you, along with Ed. And we are so fortunate to be in our Pearl Street studios with a live performance from The Flusters. Brand new album is called Dream Surf. You are going to like that. We spoke to them a couple of years ago at Coachella. We'll go all over that. We're going to have a nice discussion. But first, let's hear Stinger. This is The Flusters.
We'll be right back. That was
tasty. Very tasty. By the way, that's Dougie Van Zandt Jr., Danny White, and then we got Perry on the drums and Mario Estrada on the bass. These are the Flusters. And dude, that was like, if I closed my eyes for a second there, I'm at a Dick Dale show, man, and that was just sweet.
Rest in peace, Dick Dale. We love you.
We all love Dick Dale, and I could not thank you more for playing that song. I'm going to have you pull that mic a little closer to you as we speak.
You got it.
All right, so welcome into the studio, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Hello, thank you
for letting us come.
Oh, man, this is I'm loving this right now. I closed my eyes already. I'm somewhere else, man. I'm at a show that's just killing.
Well, that's what music does, man, if it does it right.
You and took you like 10 seconds of the opening of that song to transport me.
Yes.
Now, tell me that Dick Dale was an influence in you in some kind of way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, ever since I was younger watching Tarantino movies and just that whole vibe. And really, like, we actually credit, like, the main idea from the Flusters coming from a Dusk Till Dawn. This band, Tito and Tarantula, did a song in that.
Right, right.
Selma
Hayek dances puts the foot in Tarantino's. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I saw that band, that vampire band, and I said, man, one day I want to wear matching outfits and play cool,
right,
vampy, surfy music. And then Danny and I had the pleasure of meeting Dick, and Danny went on the road with him a couple years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago. Actually, 4 years ago this month, I was on the road with him, and as a roadie and basically just like an extra hand, a driver.
Oh, sweet.
And I got to, you know, do some like minor tech work on his guitar. I got to
tell him about the Beast.
The Beast was incredible. It's like a piece of history that I get to like carry around. It's like,
what is it?
It's a guitar that Leo. I thought everybody knew what the Beast was. Obviously, now I'm wrong. No, it's a guitar that Leo Fender gave to him in, I think, 1950. I want to say 59, maybe.
Okay.
And
you could say 59 and the rest of us just wouldn't know, man. So say 59, for goodness sake.
Yeah, somebody comment with the right year if they
I believe it was a 59. It was 57. Like an original Stratocaster. If 57, it was going to be the other one that I was going to say.
Writer's credit.
So, and Dick Dale was like a son to Leo Fender, and he gave him this guitar when Dick was like first starting out, and it's just like this incredible like guitar. I've never heard anything that sounds like it. You know, honestly, his guitar, I've never really heard anything that sounds like that either. I'm talking about Doug's guitar.
Dougie's guitar.
It's got some serious, like, I don't know what there
magic.
Is to it.
Magic. That's what it is. It's magic.
You know, somebody at that Fender factory in Mexico drilled those holes just right.
That's true.
And then I just got my new Hip Shot bridge put on here. And Mario just got a new bridge courtesy of Hip Shot. They were put on by our boy Jimmy Palmer from 111 Guitars in the Coachella Valley.
Not just sound great, but quite attractive as well, man.
You know, it's kind of the motto of the band.
I noticed you guys are carrying cool bags too, man. These guitars are well protected, clearly.
Courtesy of Reunion Blues.
Thanks to Reunion Blues, yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, they hooked us up with some gig bags. So we just got those. We just broke those in last weekend at a couple festivals up in the High Desert in Joshua Tree. And they're awesome. They look cool. They're comfortable.
And you haven't beat them to hell yet, so, you know.
They can take it.
Now, the album Dream Surf, originally, I guess it's 7 tracks from the EP that you'd already released and 6 brand new tracks.
Right. So what it was that we were supposed to originally do an EP number, an extended play number 1 and an extended play number 2.
Right.
And we decided after releasing the first one, like, why don't we just take everything down and absorb everything onto this collection of songs that were the first written and recorded by the band. Like these 14 tracks, which 4 of which are synthesizer interludes and such.
Right.
They kind of are the mark of the first songs that started the Flusters' career,
right?
So we wanted to kind of get those all on a collective album, and you aptly name it Dream Surf, which kind of describes the music style. It's kind of our self-titled genre.
Okay,
so
it's actually pretty cool. It's like, and I've heard the description of it sounds like Morrissey sitting in the back of a Woody giving you a live show. Yeah, man,
that was courtesy of Kevin Bronson from Buzz Bands LA, the wordsmith that he is. And
yeah,
we appreciate
Shout
all the love.
And you know,
from Buzz Bands,
as you're playing, okay, I can totally dig that, man. I'm into that. So you just finished playing the 3rd annual pre-Coachella. Oh, no, that's happening on Thursday. You're playing the 3rd annual pre-Coachella show.
Yeah, it's like how many bands say like they get booked at grocery stores. You know, I don't know if that's a sign that you're doing well or you're doing bad. But in our case, it's like, you know, if Whole Foods wants to book you for a rock show, you know, they spare no expense on their groceries. And that's the same for their shows. It's like, it's pretty awesome. We played it last year. It was packed. It was awesome. Beer, craft beer, awesome food. You pay $5, you go in and you eat. A bunch of people are in town for Coachella anyway, like gearing up at Whole Foods for their Airbnbs, and they stop by, and here's this party going on.
It's a big vegan party.
Also in L.A., we do these street food cinema shows in L.A. We can get into those later,
though. Yeah, no, let's get into them now, man.
Well, you know, I don't know.
We're here for you.
You know, airtime is valuable. Laguna, man, this is like valuable airtime.
Well, here's what we did. You're right. You're absolutely right. And what we did was we carved out all the time that you guys want, man, because this is going to be your world for the next however long.
So everybody listening on lunch break right now, when you're driving home at 4:30, we're still going to be on playing Deep Cuts of Flusters.
It's not even on the album.
But for all the greater LA people, for real though, street food cinema is a thing where they a company, they set up outdoor jumbotron movie screens in all these parks around the greater LA, Orange County area, and screen like really well-known movies. We are doing opening night at LA State Historic Park on April 27th. They're working with Fox Searchlight, and they are screening 500 Days of Summer.
Okay.
And we're going to be the band that opens up that big event. They have all of LA's most famous food trucks. They have all these cross-promotional fun things you can do, and it's a really good time. We do it every year. We've been doing it for about 3 years. So we're doing that one, and then a little bit later in the summer, in July, we're doing E.T. in Glendale.
All right.
Which is going to be fun. So if you want to check that out, streetfoodcinema.com or our website, thefluster.com, can kind of tell you where we are, what we're doing, all that stuff.
Excellent. Our second song we're going to hear from you guys is a song called Time Traveler. Tell me a little bit about Time Traveler, if you would.
It's about traveling through time.
That, by the way, is Mario.
Self-described.
Time Traveler was like this song that was like an itch in the back of my throat forever. And it kind of like, I started writing it in Philly, but I could never bring it to fruition until, of course, I brought up the remnants of what I thought were a song that would never live to these guys.
Right.
And out popped, Time Traveler. And the cool thing about our songs is they have, like a lot of artists, they have a lot of versions. So our studio version is kind of like this dreamy doo-wop-y thing. But right now we're going to do what's called our Desperado version. Because we like playing it live. We're just like, right now we're in that phase and we're in that mood. So we're going to like play this version of Time Traveler, which you can hear a different one if you stream it or download it.
All right. I'm digging this. You're live in our Pearl Street studios. If you're just joining us, the band is Flusters. Their new album is Dream Surf. The song we're about to hear is Time Traveler. Laguna Beach, these are the Flusters.
Right in front of me, time after time.
KX93.5, we are live in our Pearl Street studios, and we have a treat today. The Flusters are performing here in the studio. That song was Time Traveler off their latest album, Dream Surf. And my understanding is that a lot of these songs, are we dealing with the paranormal and UFOs and alien abduction? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah.
Yes, you are dealing with the unknown.
Switch over to the regular mic now. Yeah. That was planned. That was a canned action right there.
That was good.
You know, there is a little bit of that going on. Actually, a lot of that going on. We started writing these, as it's been put, hyper romantic ballads.
Right.
Guitar pop ballads, whatever. But then we started to realize that we were kind of aligning with this like underlying narrative of like alien abduction. And, you know, the concept for this collection of songs was really inspired by these amalgamated flying saucer club zines from the 50s, 60s.
Bob Renaud, that guy, yeah, like, right.
Yeah, Bob Renaud. That's right. Directly inspired by his writings.
Oh, no way.
I swear. So Omnifrequency, Psychoprint Unit, and Somnivision, the names of all of our interludes are actual words that he used in his writings. If you read into his writings and explains what these things do and how they work, and we try to create the sounds that we thought they might make.
Right.
So it's kind of like this love lost, love refound through space and time, and the time travelers searching around for... You know, it's like a romantic sci-fi thing.
If I wasn't a fan before, dude, I'm a fan now, man. That's some wicked... And I can only imagine what it'd be like to sit around for about a half a day with you guys in the same room and write some music, man. That would be a treat, I'm sure.
Well, yes. And the process, too, is that, like, we don't Like, whereas we're starting to kind of, you hear a very clear and present era that's represented in our music, where it's kind of the old school rock and roll and the surf. You know, you might hear something a little different from our newer stuff. We may have transported to a different.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of like, I use that as kind of like, oh, that kind of goes with the storyline or whatever. But that's really like our energy I'm talking about.
Right.
Like our energy gets transported to different decades and different styles and different sounds. And we just kind of aimlessly kind of workshop whatever comes out.
And
which
follow
I'm
it.
Sure a lot of bands do.
Right.
You know, if you're true to yourself as an artist, you kind of follow your own spirit and let it go where it takes you, instead of like, all right, let's follow the spirit of the industry.
Right.
You can do that too. I mean, and people do, and they do it very well, you know? And if something that we do falls into that, but, you know, we just kind of let it go and just kind of do it, you know?
Now,
talking tongues.
Indulge me for a second while I just tell the audience how creative you are. Now, each song on this album has a corresponding mirror track. Explain that to us, please.
So if you look at like track one and track seven, Little Mexico and Everyday Dreamin', if you look at tracks four and 11, my math is going to be off on this. So like if you basically fold the track listing in half,
right?
Each, you know, the tracks 1 and 7, 2 and 8 and 3 and 9, they would all kind of be like sister tracks to one another. So if we put out 45s,
right?
Those tracks would be on either side of it. They would be the A and the B side.
Right.
You'd have the two surf tracks would line up, the two ballads, the visceral kind of melodic ballads, they line up. The foot stomp percussion pop lover songs line up.
Right.
So it's kind of like all the interludes line up. So it's kind of like this weird thing that presented itself to us, really. Right. And it was like, whoa, you know?
Creativity and OCD combined.
There's a lot of that going on.
I'm sure there is. Now, you're coming out with a special vinyl 45 exactly of what we're describing, right?
You know, we're working on it. We really want to have it out this year. That's why we're playing more shows. And we want to give the real audiophiles a treat when they visit the merch table beyond T-shirts and stickers. We want to give them something special. So we're really trying to put the money together for for some you know, some cassette tapes, some special 45s, some full-size LPs.
Right.
You know, the thing is, though, the trouble we're having is that our material, like the second side, our B-side of material, doesn't fit the 22 minutes on. So we've got some decisions to make.
Oh.
Like, what are we going to do? Like, we've got to work something out. But the album is meant to be played the way it is. And that's the frustrating thing. It's like taking a scene. I don't know how directors do it.
Right.
Like, you have to delete a scene.
Right.
How do you do? It's part of your narrative. Like, what's expendable to us? Right. Like, nothing is. But if we want to get the full record on an A and B side LP,
right,
we're going to have to do something.
Well, can you imagine if Tarantino had deleted the Salma Hayek dance scene? Man, I couldn't imagine that. So, yeah, we need to work on this, man.
We're just going
to
speed everything up. Like,
just a little bit.
Hey, Billy Joel,
extra
3 BPM, we got you.
We got you covered there. Now, you recently played the Desert Stars in Joshua Tree.
Oh, man, that was great.
That's got to be just an insane place to play. Just an open sky, beautiful. Tell me about it.
I mean, especially like when I'll be listening to like Apple Music Radio, you know, indie gems
right.
playlist, and Luna comes on, right. and like we're on the T-shirt, on the back of the T-shirt with them.
That's pretty tight.
You know?
That's pretty tight.
Yeah. And then the guy from, you remember that documentary Dig?
I do.
It's about Dandy Warhols. Well, the guy from Dandy Warhols that played the tambourine, Joel Guion, he was like their token tambourine player.
Right.
He ended up playing some stuff the night before. And I remember seeing that documentary and being like, oh, man, that's so cool. It's like you just never know. Like, this was like 10, 15 years ago when that came out. And like, here I am sharing the stage. Here we are sharing the stage with this guy and all these other amazing like bands from Southern California and Portland. And they came from everywhere for that show.
Right.
Tommy Dietrich, really hats off to that guy for putting together an amazing festival. Also that weekend, we had SoCal Psych Out up in Garth's Boulder Gardens.
Sweet.
And they had all these psychedelic bands from L.A. and just Southern California, Portland, and all over. And they did these big liquid light projections on the rock formations. It was nutty.
That's got to be so cool. That's got to be so cool.
I mean, it was like you should, if you go to SoCal Psych Out, go to their Instagram and you look at the picture they just put up. It's like an aerial photograph of like what it looked. It was, they did a great job. The Gaylor brothers and everybody over there.
Oh,
hats off to both of those festivals that ran on the same weekend and still both of them were sold out, successful.
Tough to do, first of all, and an almost an impossible task sometimes. Let me chat with Mario for a second over here.
Hey,
man. Hey, Mario plays the bass for this fantastic band, and not just playing it. I hear some fine, fine bass work there, man.
Bass, man.
What was your first instrument? What was the first instrument you ever played?
Violin.
Yeah, it shows. No, I'm just kidding. But you do. You have to know everything in order to play the violin. That teaches you basically everything, right?
Yeah. Well, I've actually been playing bass since like I was in middle school. Since I was like in sixth grade, so like 10 years old. So I mean, 18? Six? I'm 17. I'm 27. 17 years. I don't know how old I am. About 17 years I've been playing bass. Yeah,
I want you to show me your work on that scratch piece of paper. Please, show me your work.
Listeners, please in the comments, do the math. Facebook livers, please do the,
And do you still play the violin ever?
No, not at all. I should probably go buy one or something.
Yeah, just have one.
I just stick to the bass now. I got like a bunch of basses, and that's kind of what I like now. I just stick to a bunch of them, just four strings every single day.
You do it well.
And he's got the head.
Bippity boppity.
It does.
See?
I get it too. It's very clever.
We got Perry over on the drums. Perry, man, fine work on those drums, buddy.
Thank you. And a little on the improvise because I was not fully seeing what I was grabbing, and I forgot my snare drum stand, so I'm doing a little nice improvisation.
Can you explain to our listeners what's going on here?
Yeah, actually, he's really literally holding his snare on his lap. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy, or is that what's happening?
That's exactly what's going on. So yeah, when in the world of mistakes, you must always improvise because the show must go on.
Yeah, you know, we could have got someone. One of the interns could have held it for you. While you did. That's pretty cool.
Human.
Can we also just touch on what you saw pull up?
I didn't want to mention that. But it's this your van, your tour bus, if you will. It used to be like a yellow cab of some kind.
It used to be a taxi. So about, let me tell you. Here's your story. So about 3 weeks ago, my car decides to completely die on me. One of the spark plugs shot straight out of the top of the engine. So that was real fun.
Yeah.
Great Monday morning, I must say. So I'm kind of freaking out, you know, calling around all my friends in the Valley. And I have this friend that he owns an air conditioning company and a taxi business. And I was thinking, I know, right? Two random jobs, right? Yeah. He knows. But anyway, so I was calling him thinking, you know, from the air conditioning business, any of these people in these country clubs that are selling an old car for, you know, super cheap or anything.
Very smart.
And he's like, you know, let me give you a call back, completely forgetting about the taxi service. Calls me not 20 minutes later. Hey, you got cash? Yes. All right. You want to buy one of my old taxis? We're about to take it off the fleet. I was like, how much? $1,200. There's only one problem with it. What? It's taxi cab yellow.
It's bright now. It's right now. It's blinding everyone in the studio. It's sitting outside.
Not even the color reflected windows can block that out. But yeah, and this thing, it runs great, runs smooth. It's just kind of shocking seeing that the mile counter's saying 381,000 miles. Runs smoother than any car I've ever had.
And do you have people trying to flag you down for a ride as you're driving?
Oh, yeah, and then I just kind of give them I'm not working.
So they took the top off, as you can see, the light.
Right.
We've had two or three different people say, like, so inspired by the fact that we're rolling around in this thing.
That's
they
cool.
They want to make us or find one of the old lights that goes on there and put the flusters across it, hook it up to the lighting system and everything.
Perfect.
Oh, yes. It's awesome. It's like, yeah, perfect. It's great.
I think it's the best tour van I've seen any band have. I'll be honest with you.
Honestly, it fits everything amazingly. Like, fit all four of us, all of our gear and everything with leg room to spare, so...
Yeah, I would throw in some hydraulics and maybe some fat tires. You know?
Right,
you
put some 22s on that thing, you know it's good.
Throw some D's on that.
In case you're just joining us, we are live at our Pearl Street Studios with the band The Flusters. Their new album is Dream Surf. These guys are not only a lot of fun, they are so musically gifted. We're lucky to have them here. We're fortunate that we're going to hear yet another song. Tell me about Little Mexico.
We call it Little Mario.
When we did it at
everywhere.
Jam in the Van, Little Mario, they called it. No, Little Mexico is a song about my hometown in Bridgeton, New Jersey. Shout out to all my New Jersey peeps that are watching. And it was cool. When we were on tour, we got to these guys got to kind of see like all the parts of town that are in the lyrics.
Right.
So like it's all real, yeah. You know, which a lot of our songs are. Right. You know, they have like real references. So without further ado, I guess this is... Little Mexico, and this is another one that really rose to the top as a single that came out on EP number one, but now as it's being re-released and repackaged on Dream Surf, it's kind of, bumping to the top of the surface.
I should mention this without embarrassing you guys, and really, you are burning up the charts, and I hate saying that, but it's true. You're really just kicking butt on the charts.
Sweet.
You really are. So congratulations, number one, and to our audience here in Laguna Beach. Just enjoy this. These are the Flusters. This song is called Little Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2.
city falling low. Make a movie in my mind. Move to city falling low. Make a movie in my mind. Time to say farewell to you. So take a little Mexico. We'll return to eat your food. But right now I must let you go. Trying to say farewell to you. So take a little Mexico. We'll return to eat your food. But right now I must let you go. Here we go.
KX93.5, The Flusters, live from our Pearl Street studios. That song was Little Mexico. Just really cool vibe to that tune. I'm talking to Danny White, the guitarist here now. Tell me about the vibe there, man. And I noticed you guys did a little thing at the beginning where, do we want to play it this way? You can play it multiple ways.
Yeah, so we've got this pocket. Perry, what's that other pocket? We're not going to get into it. Just to give an example. No, the other pocket. We do kind of like a corner, right. Like a corner, like cafe version of it.
Wanna go to Little Mexico? My tires change, I get an ice cream cone.
That's a little bit more for like the acoustic version, and sometimes we're just like, hey, wait, what version are we gonna play? So I was like, you know what, we gotta play it this other way, because you know what I mean. That's kind of like, I don't know, the mood I was feeling. So
had to do a quick little flip the switch.
Yeah,
you know?
Readjustment.
Okay, so really quickly, and again, I want to get back to Danny. Who were your influences musically growing up?
Growing up, well, I was a blues player growing up. It wasn't until I came out here and like started playing with Doug till I completely like changed everything that I had been doing and learning,
right.
And started doing and learning other things and touring with Dick Dale and trying to get into this whole like surf vibe thing, because I, like, ever since I was like five, I was like I wanted to play blues,
right?
You know, and like R.L. Burnside and Junior Kimbrough and like those guys, like they were probably my biggest inspiration growing up. And came out here and just I think I just started learning about different music,
right?
Because down there it was just what it was there, you know. I wasn't experienced in like music from different places,
right?
You know, and we just kind of this whole thing kind of like it. Really was it was difficult at first for me because I wasn't all that great.
Right.
Still not all that great.
But I think you're doing all right.
Thank you.
I think you're doing all right.
I'm doing much better than I was 5 years ago.
You know what I find? I find that this band is like a really great recipe for chili or something, man. It's just like this delicious recipe that just blends, man. You guys are just killing it.
It's modest ingredients. It's like, yeah. You know, we're kind of like, you know, I guess musically, technically, we're kind of like the Ringos of our category. Right. Not just percussion, but in the way that we kind of we live in safe corners musically. At right. least we try to. And you know, I think a lot of great musicians do that. They just kind of sit in the pocket, do what's needed. You right. know, no more.
So Dougie Van Sant Jr., right?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Do you have musically talented parents?
My mom was really into music. Has always been very into music, and my father. He recently, well, we recently struck up this relationship based on Roy Orbison, actually. He's one of my vocal idols.
What a great voice.
And my father's always loved him, but I just never really sat and talked with him about it. You know, and in the past 5-6 years is when I've really started to cultivate a relationship with him. You know, so one of our subjects of conversation was Roy Orbison, and I actually wasn't able to make it to the East Coast for his 75th birthday, so I sent him a video of me performing In Dreams by Roy Orbison. Yeah. And it was a really special moment that we got to share across the coast from each other. But my mother, with, you know, Harry Connick, Frank Sinatra,
right,
all, so she's well versed in music.
So where do you see,
amen to that?
Amen to that, brother. Where do you see the band in the next few years, man? Where, one day at a time, or do you have the game plan for 3 years down the road?
Well, it's kind of like, it's kind of hard because it's kind of like predicting the weather.
Right.
You know, you can bust out the farmer's almanac and see where you should go based on the numbers and based on the input and based on this. And just like what we've learned is kind of like the only thing that's constant is change. And like really what I want to refocus on, because sometimes I put on this like businessman hat and I'm trying to be our manager, and well, cause I am, right. I have to be, right. You know, then I just want to switch back to an artist and get all of us in like this little cottage and just be creative and kind of capture that creativity on tape and, you know, work and create more art and be really authentic about it, right. And just go where we want to go. And just like, if that gives us this gateway into whatever fortune we're supposed to gain in our lives, then great. But at least we're putting out true work. And then, you know, we have like all this legacy, like when we're older and dying, and as we all do, we can say, well, look, we've got this body of work that we can pass on to our family and we live on, and it's true stuff. It's real, yeah. Actual pieces of our
tangible.
Yeah.
Yes. So I find myself later on this afternoon at the grocery store, standing in line at Gelson's. They're going to ask me what I thought. And you hit it. The one word that I would describe you guys, authentic. That is absolutely right on target. Where can we find you on social media?
Everywhere.
MySpace.
Yeah, any social media platform, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, and then you can also stream the album on any streaming service as well. If you have Spotify, Apple Music, we are even on Pandora if you are just so inclined to just listen to radio stations.
We've got a cool Pandora station.
All right, right on.
It changes a lot. Like, like the playlist changes because they're trying to, like, try. From what we've understood, they had a little bit of trouble getting us into the algorithm because of like the sound was like hard to pin,
right? Hard to nail you
we
down.
Don't necessarily
right.
fit the genome.
Right. Yeah, so not so much as other acts might or something, you know. But yeah, we're all over the place, and our website's a really good hub for finding us everywhere. We have it all listed out and stuff. So
hey, Laguna Beach, we've been talking to the Flusters, Dougie Van Sant Jr., Danny White, Perry on drums, and Mario Estrada on bass. Anything else you want to tell the audience before we roll?
You know, check us out, stream us, you know, play the music, and get a hold of us. We reach out, you know, if you have any questions about where we are, what we're up to, or you know what, if any bands are listening, you know, hit us up. That's what we want to do. We want to play shows. We want to play in Orange County. We want to break out into more places in LA and stuff. So, you know, if you want to put some shows together, we're ready. We'll host you in the desert. You know, we'll come out here, both.
Right on.
Whatever.
Hey,
we
and
just
we
want to play.
Hey, we'd love to have you back here. And certainly in that room, when we get that room tight, man, you guys go Ooh, crazy. We'll give you an hour. Just go
promising.
Crazy. Yeah, I do.
That'd be great. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for being here. The Flusters.
Thank you.
Let's roll out of here. Do you mind if I play Elevator Dance? You guys
absolutely
are right with
that? Play Elevator. Right. I don't think it's ever been played on the radio.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
Well, it's going to be played now.
But I don't, you know. All right.
Elevator Dance from the Flusters.
RNLP, Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.